This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City by Memphis soul blues singer and one of my favorite singers, Bobby Blue Bland. Back in the day, Tony Allen used to wander around the Grizzlies locker room singing that to himself. And the reason he was singing it is because that the hook there got sampled in a Jay-Z song at the time that was current at the time, and Tony was into the Jay-Z and would just walk around the locker room singing Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. And I told, one night I said, you know, Tony, that comes from a Memphis guy, Bobby Blue Bland. And he just sort of nodded at me and kept singing. I don't think he really processed that. But he was singing it in the locker room.
It's Pie Day. I told Jeffrey that we were going to talk about pastries. He said that sounds like a challenge. So
we're talking about math?
So no, let's talk about math right now. What's your favorite pie?
I will accept almost any pie. I don't like anything pie or cake that has candied coconut on it, even though I like coconut flavor. Other than that, like if you put a pie in front of me, I'll probably eat it. But I tend to like the like sweet potato, buttermilk, chess pie, right, that kind of thing.
Right.
Chocolate
pie.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
when it comes to fruit stuff, I prefer it in cobbler or crisp form than pie form generally.
Because
I don't know, just the tumble
tumble of stuff.
Yeah.
And then John Feinstein died yesterday, and so it occurred to me, do you have a favorite sports book? I don't imagine it's his, but do you have a favorite sports book? Or any sports books that were important to you?
I mean, the Bill James, like, annual baseball abstracts, and then the Bill James historical baseball abstract were things I definitely read that were sort of formative to me. Ball Four, you know, is a classic.
Right, it's a classic.
That's probably the thing that comes immediately to mind.
What was Dan Jenkins' book? What was that one, Jeffrey? Dan Jenkins.
Something Glory? Am I making that up?
No, he wrote a similar Ball Four sort of.
By the way, the
Semi-Tough? North Semi-tough. Dallas 40?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that was it. Well, wait a second.
Mike Messina was the other pitcher in whatever, Paint in the Black.
He wrote a book.
Messina and Glavin.
Yeah, Semi-Tough. That was it. He wrote Semi-Tough.
Friday Night Lights is very good. Buzz Bissinger. Moneyball's good.
Breaks of the Game. David Halberstam.
I read that one a long time ago. That was very good. Yep. It is interesting because people.
Ball Four is Jim Bouton, by the way. It's a good behind-the-scenes baseball book.
Very good. People sort of credit, and I did earlier, John Feinstein with creating the form almost of the
Embedded during the season.
But David Halberstam did it with David Halberstam did it with the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. We got two big games this weekend, starting with tonight against Cleveland, and the stunner or surprise, happy surprise, was on the injury report, Jaren questionable.
Yeah, I really just didn't know what to think leading up to this. I didn't want to give people false hope on it, and I did not know what they were going to do. But I've been pointing out on this show and other places, like two positive indicators from the road trip I was on. One, that on Saturday, which is a long time ago at this point, Saturday after shoot-around, Jaren was out doing shooting, dribbling stuff just like you do before a game.
Right.
Like, with an assistant coach and looked good doing it. And then on Sunday in New Orleans, unprompted, Taylor Jenkins said something like, and then when we get Jaren back, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Right.
And my antenna popped up on both of those, but I didn't want to suggest to people he was going to play this weekend, and partly because I didn't think he would.
Right.
And so now it looks like he probably will, whether that's tonight or tomorrow night. I don't know.
You gave me false hope. I mean, not false hope. You gave me real hope.
It turned out to be real hope.
Certainly hope that this was progressing well, because they don't normally just volunteer stuff like that.
Oh, no, the Taylor Jenkins saying that was my eyebrows really raised on that.
So as a close reader of your stuff, I perked up when I saw that. So so that's good, and presumably he won't play both.
That's what I wonder about. I would presume, again, I don't know, they've been less predictable lately. I would presume he won't play both. And Drew and I were actually talking about this yesterday. Like, if you were going to, lean in on a health – since it's a back-to-back, if you're leaning into guys – if you have guys who are not going to play both, it could be Vince, could be someone else. If you have guys who are not going to play both and only going to play one, like, which one are you playing? Are you doing, the bigger game against Cleveland? Or are you doing, let's almost, not forfeit that, but say, whatever happens, happens, but let's really make sure we get the one on Saturday. You could go either way on that. I like the idea – of putting your best team you can on the floor against Cleveland as a test for yourself and to get a good basketball game out of it, though.
You could also split the difference. You could have a player who stays, you think Ja's going to play both games?
I don't have any reason to believe he won't, other than past performance. Right. Like he has not played this. That's another thing. The Jaren thing's obscured it. Tonight, I think, would be a six straight for Ja, which would be the most all season, the most in two seasons. So I don't know. I have no reason to believe he won't, other than the fact that he hasn't.
The funny thing is, literally, again, a close reader of your stuff, in your first column about Ja has turned a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally think you had a parenthetical, has played five straight, and there's no reason to believe he won't play, and then he didn't.
And then he didn't. Right, exactly. And so, but this is coming off a day's rest, and he's been playing great, and he's not on the injured list, so he's going to play tonight. The question is whether he'll play tomorrow night on the back-to-back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a happy development.
So he'll get the six, barring something wildly unexpected.
So Cleveland tonight.
15 in a row, record-wise, best team in the league.
Do you think they're the best team in the league?
I think they might be. I haven't drilled into that, in terms of thinking about what teams really will be for the playoffs. So I haven't done the work. I actually sort of will do that, probably more in the Western Conference than the East. But my instinct is they're being discounted too much. That people are not putting enough faith in what they've actually done. People still talk about Boston in the playoffs, and I don't know about that. I think Cleveland's really, really, really good, and I might pick them to come out of the East. I don't know.
I think partly they're being discounted. In other words, if you just put Cleveland in the West and Oklahoma City in the East, they're being discounted because Boston's
that's
there,
right.
Right. Like, and in a way that, and it's still people sort of discount Oklahoma City because, look what they did in the playoffs last year.
Right.
There's the youth. We haven't seen it from both of these teams a little bit. You have previously, in other moments you have, when we've talked about this, you've compared the Grizzlies and the Cavs and their trajectories and their constructories.
Yeah.
So what has happened, and where's the cause for hope in it for the Grizzlies, and why are the Cavs
better right now? Well, their fourth guy is a real fourth guy. The Grizzlies' theoretical fourth guy is a rookie, and you don't know if he'll be that. That's
right.
Zach Edey. Like the breakdown in the comp is the Zach Edey Jared Allen breakdown. Right, Jared Allen is way better than Zach Edey.
Right.
But what's Zach Edey going to be? Like, if you look at Jared Allen, in his age 21, 22 season or whatever, so how how good can Zach Eadie be, and how quickly can he be that if you're talking about next season and the year after? Can he catch up enough to be that level of center, or quasi that level of center, if not a Jared Allen, a Jonas in his prime, like that kind of guy, like a really strong fourth piece to the puzzle? He's not that right now, and Jared Allen is.
But the comp is small guards and a multi-talented big.
Yeah. The Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland backcourt versus a Ja Morant, Desmond Bane backcourt is not that different qualitatively or stylistically, frankly. I mean, it's not that different. And then Jaren and Evan Mobley are like doppelgangers.
Right.
Like Jaren is Mobley's bigger, even bigger. And he's a better rebounder, and he's just bigger and longer. Jared is a better offensive player right now than Evan Mobley is, but they are very similar. And then we talk about this Oklahoma City comps too. Like, their like veteran role player stuff is a little bit better right now in terms of Max Strus and DeAndre Hunter and some of those guys. And then they made this coaching change that like goosed their offense, right? If I'm the Grizzlies, I want to come out of the playoffs, and who knows, maybe you won a title. But I want to come out of, I'm assuming they don't. You want to come out of these playoffs this year with enough self-belief to say, let's do as much as we can to be next year's version of this year's Cleveland, right? That is there to get if we really want it, you know?
It does feel like over the last, by winning these four games, certainly at least they have stabilized a couple of things. We've seen Ja emerge as Ja.
Right.
And then they've stabilized their place in the standings. Again, last night, Lakers lose, no LeBron. It's now one game.
The Lakers and Nuggets play each other tonight, so someone's
going to lose, right? Yeah. And it feels like, LeBron is, we know Jaren's coming back, and LeBron's not questionable yet. So it feels like you feel pretty good about that Lakers thing now, right? I mean, because of the injury.
I think it's a coin flip at worst, it could easily go either way, but I think there's a decent chance, maybe a slightly better than 50-50 chance that the Grizzlies finish ahead of the Lakers. Yeah.
And I don't know. Are you trying to be in the 2-3 instead of the 4-5?
Drew keeps asking me this, and I keep not having good answers because I don't know what the matchups are going to be.
It's kind of
impossible. I think the matchups matter to me a little bit more than they matter to him. So I am focused at this point on, to me, my bar is like getting out of the is advancing in the playoffs, right? I'm not thinking about what's the best path to the finals. I think you're going to have to, any path you get, you're going to be really good to get there, right? And so I've grown less concerned about like avoiding Oklahoma City until the conference finals. Like, if you play in Oklahoma City in the second round, it's sort of like it's all gravy anyway.
Isn't that some of that a reflection of what our view of this team is capable of has been modulated or reduced a little bit by maybe the fact that Marcus Smart didn't work out, or maybe the fact that Vince hasn't been what we hoped, or maybe the fact that Zach Eadie hasn't quite been what we hoped? Or don't you think that's true, that at some point in the season we had higher hopes and now it's like,
Well, at some point in the season we had lower hopes too. If you go back to the start of the season, no one had the Grizzlies tied for second in the West with 15 games to go or 20 games to go or whatever.
Right.
So they brought us back in and then gave us reasons to doubt once they brought us back in. It's more of that kind of thing. I'm going to write about Grizzlies playoff expectations when we get a little bit closer to the playoffs. But I've been looking at some stuff, and there are real substantial objective reasons to think the Grizzlies have a better chance in the playoffs than we've been giving them lately. But there's also there's another side of that coin too, where there's real reasons to doubt them too. There's like real stuff to grab onto on both sides of that argument. I'm going to get into that.
Given good health, what's the Grizzlies playoff rotation?
I asked Taylor Jenkins a week or so ago about starting two rookies, and people don't do that, and it's working. Your lineups are working, but people don't do that in the playoffs. And he sort of gave some answer that suggested like maybe that would change. It seems like the clock is ticking on that.
Right,
like you would want to change it before you get to game one of the playoffs.
Of course, the one you would take out is Eadie, and you have been missing. They've been down a big.
So maybe if you were going to do that change, maybe you couldn't do it because of these injury stuff. I'm going to say that Zach Eadie, for now, I'm going to say he still starts, but in limited minutes, a ceremonial start, unless he shows that he can't play in a series. To me, it's very possible you get to a series and Zach Eadie can't play in the series, but I'm not going to make that decision until it happens. I'm going to make the other teams prove to me he can't play in the series, right? So I'm going to say the starting lineup for now is the starting lineup. Jadez, Jalen, Jaron, Edie. I think, assuming these guys are healthy, Aldama's a lock, Brandon Clark is a lock. That's seven. I think Luke Kennard, in a different way, but like Zach Edey, is a lock unless the team, the other team proves you can't have him on the floor.
Right, that's eight.
That gets you to eight, and then you have this real question of Vince Williams, who you assume was going to be a lock, but now is like kind of shaky. Scottie Pippen Jr. has reemerged. You know, G.G. Jackson, they keep playing him. I'm going to assume that it's a nine-man with Pippen and Williams and not G.G. Jackson. And the guy I would keep an eye on is actually Lamar Stevens. I don't think he will be in your planned playoff rotation, but I think if you look at all the guys, the last five, six guys on the roster, and say, who is the guy most likely to jump up and play 18 minutes in a playoff game because of the way the game's turning a certain way? I think he's the guy because he offers you a combination of size and physicality defensively on the perimeter that no one else quite does. If you're looking up and like you're in a series of Minnesota and Anthony Edwards is going off and like, who can we put out there to just be really physical with him for the next 6 minutes? Right. I think Lamar Stevens may get the call on something like that.
What do you make of the fact that they've been starting GG over Vince? Is this just health?
Well, they've gone both ways.
Right.
They've done it the other way as much as they've done it that way. I think against Utah was starting Walker Kessler at center, John Collins, and Lauri Markkanen, who's a 6'11", you know.
Yeah.
So I think it was more, and then the other one that Gigi started, Vince didn't play because it was the back-to-back and he didn't play. So the two games that where they quote-unquote went away from Vince starting, one Vince just didn't play at all, and the other they were playing this huge front line. So I don't make too much of that.
All right, and that's tonight. We got the Cavs tonight, and then tomorrow the Heat in town and Tony's celebration. You mentioned yesterday that Mike told you he was planning to come.
Planning,
but we'll see. Zeebo's here, obviously. Zeebo will be here. Do we think
Zeebo went away, but I think he's coming back.
Do we think Mark's going to be here?
I have no idea. I thought about trying to reach out to Mark, but I already had enough people to talk to, and Mark is sort of hard to get hold of because he lives in Spain, and so I don't know.
You've written, obviously, two pieces about this, about the era. What did you think when they acquired him? Do you recall what you thought when they acquired him? And I don't know, how did it...
I don't remember having strong feelings either way about it. I remember being a little surprised that they just abandoned the Ronnie Brewer thing so quickly. They traded for Ronnie Brewer. They traded a first-round pick to get Ronnie Brewer. He gets injured. But, like, guys get injured, right? He gets injured, and he's going to be a restricted free agent. You had his rights, you know, restricted rights, I think, at the time. And so I just assumed they were going to bring him back. And then when they didn't, I don't remember having particularly strong feelings about what else they were going to do.
And they're doing the thing again. Is it at the end? Is it? That's how they've done it.
They'll do segments and stuff throughout the game, but then the ceremony will be after the game.
And do you think it will be antic? Will it be funny? It's got to be. There will be humor.
I mean, they have such a range of stuff to choose from to like show on the Jumbotron or whatever throughout the game. Like, you know, they could just not do the game and just do 2 hours of Tony Allen bits on the Jumbotron, you know? And so, you have a cornucopia of stuff to choose from.
You tweeted out something that should be on a, what was the play? There was a play.
Oh, that was just a play. Was just a fast break. It was a, I joked years ago whenever it happened, like this should be a hologram installation outside FedEx Forum. It was Tony Allen gets a steal and gets it out to Conley, and Conley dribbles down the floor and does a full spin. Shuffle pass to Gasol. If it's a shuffle pass to Randolph, who takes a bump and finishes the play. It was just all four of those guys.
All four of them.
Sort of in unison.
All four of them doing their thing. Well, it should be a great night tomorrow at FedEx Forum. In other news, we had Steph. What is it? Is it 4,000? 4,000.
Yep.
Three-pointers. Think he'll get to five? It took him 3.5 years to get to 4,000 from three to four. Do you think he'll get to five?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to – he'll be 60 draining threes. The question is whether, you know, he's able to get around an NBA court.
He's 37 now.
37. Is he really 37? I didn't think he was that old.
He's 37.
Wow. Okay. I don't know about that then.
He would have to be in his 40s hitting threes.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
They have won
– you have to be on the floor. And so the chances are, even if you try to play, the chances are you start missing more games and all of that.
Right. I think probably not. The So they've won 11 straight. It is interesting. They're still not getting – it shows how the Grizzlies have really fortified themselves with their four straight wins. They don't seem much of a threat to track down the Grizzlies.
The Warriors? They won six straight.
Maybe they won
11 straight with Butler because Butler missed a game.
That was there. I think that's it. What do you how much do you fear the Warriors?
A little bit. I mean, in a general sense, I think they're to be taken seriously. From a Grizzly sense, I'm torn because there's the general there to be taken seriously. But when you get to the actual matchup stuff, like, that's not the kind of team from a matchup standpoint that particularly bothers me about the Grizzlies, except that they got Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, and these are dudes who have done this, you know, in playoff basketball. And so I sort of have mixed feelings on it from that standpoint. Like, in terms of, like, how do you match up with this team? Like, I worry about trying to guard LeBron and Luka both more than I worry about trying to guard Steph and Jimmy Butler. But I just... That's Steph and Jimmy Butler. So, yeah, that is not to be taken lightly.
In terms of teams that the most likely teams they could still play, we're going to eliminate Dallas and Sacramento at this point.
Right.
So they're not going to play Dallas and Sacramento, right? And you've always hated the idea, I think, of the Clippers because the
Clippers
matchup,
are a wild card because they could injury stuff go awry. That could be an easy matchup. But if Kawhi's fully himself for a whole series, then it's
they got
it's
a great coach. They have also no fun.
They have great defense. They get the power play at the rim. I think the matchup stuff, if the Clippers are at full strength for the whole series, the matchup stuff is bad with the Clippers.
So who among the likely opponents is the most appealing right now as you sit here?
I mean, you don't want to take anybody for granted. The Grizzlies can lose a first-round series to any of these 100%
teams. 100% they can lose to Minnesota. That's one that scares me because people think they take it for granted that they'd beat Minnesota.
Well, you're getting into sort of advanced psychology. I'm looking at, like, basketball matchups.
Right.
I don't – the Minnesota thing doesn't bother me as much. I don't think they would – you know, they could put McDaniels, I guess, on Morant, but then you're having other problems. I'm sort of looking at – like, who's guarding Morant? Does the other team have someone? Like Denver's won. As good as Denver's been,
who's guarding
John Morant on that
team? True.
You know? And so the Denver, from a matchup standpoint, it doesn't bother me that much. I look at, like, who's guarding Morant, and I look at, you know, who do the Grizzlies have to guard on the wing? Because you're depending on really unproven guys and Jalen Wells. And
the Lakers are...
Lakers got two of these dudes who, like, you know, you got to guard both of them. And Jaren would guard LeBron for stretches, but you don't want to do that too much because of the fouls. And you want Jaren to be able to roam. And you get into really, like, matchup stuff. And then can you play – if Edie is struggling in the playoffs, can you play without Edie? And that's why the Clippers with Zubats, he just may just grab 30 rebounds if Edie's not playing, you know.
All right, Chris, should be a fun weekend. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Again, he did a two-parter on Tony Allen that you can read over at the Daily Memphian. I would urge you to do it. Tonight, the Cavs. Tomorrow, Tony Allen gets his appropriate recognition by a franchise that he helped define. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Yeah, it's going to be a little stormy weather. Today and this weekend, it feels like, but you can feel that spring is here, can't you? We're talking about
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vilenny and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring break. People are on spring break.
My allergies, definitely.
You're going on trips. Your allergies are starting to kick in. We're about to talk about golf, like the Masters is bearing down upon us. So it's time to get yourself to Oak Hall. Time to get yourself to Oak Hall and spruce up your spring and summer wardrobe. Pool guys. I had people cleaning my pool today, Jeffrey. They've got stunning swimwear there. You walk in, and it is like Technicolor. It is absolutely the fall and winter is behind us. Spring and summer is here. So never a better time than to get in. You can use it all spring and all summer. Maybe I got a wedding I'm going to tomorrow. Get yourself a new spring sport coat. Sport coat's absolutely stunning at Oak Hall. Honestly, I love a good sport coat. Do you like sport coats?
Totally agree.
Like when I walk through Oak Hall and they have, you know, whatever, they'll be a sport coat. I just like,
you feel
that
sharp.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
This would be a perfect weekend to get in and see your friends at Oak Hall. Before I get to the NFL, Jeffrey, as we wrap up this week of free agency, obviously we've got a big day. We got a big day today because we have the Tigers and Ole Miss both playing at noon today. We got the Grizzlies with a massive game tonight and then another massive game tomorrow night. And we do want to wrap up this big week of NFL news. There is some evidence that people are just the worst things in the worst people in the world, Jeffrey, including, I don't know if you saw this story. This was brought to my attention from Charles Fishman brought me this attention. In Australia, an influencer saw an American influencer in Australia saw a mother with her baby wombat. So you know what she did?
I don't want to know.
She went and picked up the freaking wombat and took like videos of her with the baby wombat. And Australians are suitably outraged, absolutely outraged. Australia's prime minister has weighed in on this, suggesting she try the same thing with a crocodile and see how that goes. So we have that bit of news. Okay. This suggested that people are awful. Like, leave the damn baby wombat alone, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, but then I was hearing about the Rory spat, okay? Mm-hmm. Tell me who's right, who's wrong in the Rory spat. What happened with Rory ripping a phone?
Correct. So he took a phone from Luke Potter, who turns out is a University of Texas golfer, actually just won a tournament this week. Oh. So from ESPN, video of the incident spread on social media earlier this week. McIlroy playing a practice round Tuesday at Sawgrass ahead of this week's Players Championship, hit a drive on the 18th hole into the water, then immediately turned back and walked over to Potter standing outside the ropes, asked for his cell phone, took it, and walked away. Now, there is video of it. It is hilarious. Like, it's kind of a hilarious move. I know everybody.
Who's in the wrong here?
I'm clearly a Rory ride or die guy.
Yeah.
This is so soft. This is so soft.
Soft.
So soft. Allegedly.
Did he give him the phone back?
No. And the kid was escorted off. Like, do I think the kid.
What'd the kid do?
He basically chirped. No one has the exact footage, but he chirped something about 2011 Masters when he hooked it into the woods on 11 and he shot an 80 and he lost in the final round. Something about that.
You got to live with it. It is part of your history.
Well, and on top of that, like, do I think the kid, like, we're acting like the kid, like, shot somebody. Like, he's having to give out, like, apologies, like, whatnot. Like, he said something stupid, move on. But, like, this is not a good
Too
look
soft.
For golf.
Too soft.
Not a good look for golf. This is, to me, this is the same thing as when Westbrook gets people tossed for saying Westbrook.
Okay. Two other bits of news here. There's a Cheeto that's being auctioned off by Golden Auctions, Jeffrey. And what makes this Cheeto particularly valuable, and you'll want to get in on this,
okay,
is it's shaped like the Michael Jordan logo.
Mm, okay, the Jumpman.
It's a Jumpman logo, okay. Cheeto. Now, mind you, there was this same auction house. It's a Flaming Hot Cheeto, if that makes a difference to you. This same auction house recently auctioned off a Cheeto that was shaped like a Pokemon character for $90,000. Now, so far, the MJ-shaped Cheeto has not drawing that kind of interest. But it's in a little box, and it's got MJ's stats and whatever. It's nicely mounted like they would at the frame corner. Like, they, you know, so that itself might be worth $90,000. But we had that bit of news as well.
So I'm woke on this. These have to be created, right?
I wondered myself. I don't think so. I think you're going to get a certificate of authenticity with the Cheeto. You can't.
I got a take also.
You think they're created?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Think about this. whenever you get the variety pack.
The puffy Cheetos are terrible. They taste literally like styrofoam. The Cheetos that are the hard ones, those are delicious.
Think about this.
Every time
you get a variety pack, what do you always have an excess of at the end?
Not those. No, you have the Lay's potato chips at the end.
Give me a bag of Lay's.
They're boring.
1,000 times. No, at least they have salt.
What are they called? Crunchy Cheetos? Is that what they're called?
Crunchy Cheetos.
Crunchy Cheetos are good. The original Cheeto is pathetic. It's a horrible
puff. You don't like puffs.
The puffs are bad. The hard Cheetos are good. They do get on your hands. I mean, they get on the phone. And so there you go. So all that from the real world, I guess, sort of. And then there was this story. Did you watch White Lotus?
Yes, my wife loves it.
Okay, so they're filming White Lotus 3. Okay. And did they change the characters in White Lotus?
Yes. So basically, there's a couple of characters that are in multiple seasons, but it's virtually a new cast every year.
So this guy named Sam Nivola plays Timothy's son, Lachlan. Does this mean anything to you?
So Lachlan is Jason Isaacs, and Jason Isaacs is playing a North Carolina investment banker, and Lachlan is the youngest son. He has three kids, two boys and a girl, and they're in Thailand.
Okay. So, anyway, I guess there's nudity in...
Yes.
Right? And full frontal nudity.
Yes.
Well, there is full frontal nudity.
This was in Sunday night's episode that just debuted.
It involves...
Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs, who plays Timothy Ratliff.
Correct.
So you saw this.
Yes.
So, I think we should clarify that whatever you saw...
Prosthetic.
His unit... Yes, here's the quote. That wasn't his real penis, Sam Nivola said. It was a prosthetic.
Mm-hmm.
He was very excited to do it. I think he took pride in the prosthetic. It's a big deal to him.
Mm-hmm.
He gave that guy a nice shot several times. Now, here's the thing. I do understand if, as an actor, you don't want to do full frontal nudity, if you're not comfortable with that, right?
Sure.
I'll be honest.
He has kids.
I myself wouldn't be comfortable mm-hmm. with it, right? But if you're doing a scene where it appears that your wiener's out.
Mm-hmm. When you go full hog.
Well, but does it matter if it's, unless you don't have a wiener that you're not proud of, does it matter that it's, who are you going to, hey, everyone, you don't get to go up on everyone who sees the show and say, hey, that was a prosthetic.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's the point.
If you're using a prosthetic, it takes away some of the shame that you would feel in the scene.
I guess. And maybe, let's be honest, I think you'd like a better one. You'd like an upgrade.
Sure. I mean, if you're going to get a prosthetic,
you want a good-looking prosthetic.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing if you're a woman and it's your boob.
Mm-hmm.
But
they have surgery for that.
They do have surgery.
We have a fix for that. All right. We don't really.
On to quarterback news, ladies and gentlemen.
There was a government official that died trying to get penis enlargement surgery. Did you see this?
I didn't see this, Jeffrey.
Yeah, it's like
on the prosthetic route.
Yeah.
Okay, NFL news. Big week in NFL. Do you feel different about any team at the end of this week than you did at the beginning of the week? I do, some.
I don't know what to make of what the Seahawks did. Like, I think maybe the Seahawks are a new 7, but they're just still a 7. Like, I'm not convinced that they got worse.
So I think there are some teams that you look at and you say, oh, you're not trying to be competitive. The Jets.
Yes.
Right? And there's some teams you look at and you say, oh, you're trying to be competitive. The Pats. Right? And so we have different, I do think differently. I look at San Francisco. I think, oh, maybe you're doing a reset this year. Maybe this isn't a year where you actually have big aspirations, right? The Cowboys, you're like, what the hell? Like, whatever. Here's what the Cowboys do. Cowboys go get former first-round draft picks that didn't work out for other teams that they can acquire on a cheap basis and hope that they will flourish going forward. That seems to be what they do. But so you have different. The one that's the biggest mystery, I think, is Seattle, because they weren't throwing in the towel.
Right.
They're just using it. They're trying to do the same thing. You look at the Raiders. Oh, we're trying to be competitive, right? And it makes sense. I now think the Raiders absolutely will draft a running back at 6, right? Yeah, it's sort of consistent with what they're doing here. So Seattle,
although you could talk me, Pete, going defense, because they don't, other than Max Crosby, they don't have many.
Much. Yeah, I could see that too. And you can get a running back in round two. Seattle's interesting because the GM talked yesterday, and what he said was that we wanted to extend Geno. We made an offer to Geno, and we very quickly realized we were not going to be able to sign Geno, and indeed said that we never even got a counteroffer from Geno. So they were just in totally different ballparks. I don't think it's that Geno didn't want to be Seattle. I think the original offer was sufficiently low, they didn't see any need to counter.
Right.
Don't you imagine that's what happened?
I mean, I think Geno probably got close to what they offered Darnold, and Geno just said no. Because everyone was freaking out about Darnold's money, but when you actually broke it down, he's basically like the 18th highest paid quarterback. So
that's what they did. They just pivoted. We don't think Geno's worth this money, and we just as soon have Darnold. I think what makes it tricky for Sam Darnold is that while they were doing that, they also then get rid of DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett retires. And they already had problems on their offensive line. So what did they do?
Retired. What? I think the league retired.
Okay, that's fine.
I think he wanted to play.
Right. So they tried. They were evidently interested in signing Will Freeze, the guard from the Colts who ended up in Minnesota.
Of course, everyone knew that.
And the story there is that Seattle wanted to give him needed to get him in for his medical, for a physical first.
He wouldn't show.
And he wouldn't.
I love that.
I'm going to go to the place that isn't insisting on a physical.
The Chandler Parsons.
Will Freeze is pulling the Chandler Parsons deal to go into Minnesota. And so here's what they added for Sam Darnold. Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Oh, yeah.
Knock yourself out, man.
Well, and of course, as everyone knows, he will be on the Chiefs back in Week 10.
So I don't. That's the problem. I don't see how they are making. I don't see how they are helping him here at all. Whereas, I mean, Josh Allen. The interesting thing about Josh Allen is, you know, he got the big contract Sunday. It's kind of amazing. Like every time a quarterback gets a new contract, they set the market.
Yeah,
he didn't. He didn't insist on more than Dak. Now, more of it's guaranteed, and so we don't have the exact whatever, but the average annual salary...
That's my quarterback.
...is $55 million. Dak is at 60. Trevor Lawrence is at $55 million. Dak is at 60. And so he's there for the next 6 years.
What if Josh did that just to remind everyone? Because now when we bring this up, everyone's going to... Immediately
they
go
say,
to.
Oh, he gave
Dak,
less money.
Dak has the Dak has the biggest. It's just to point out, like, yo, that's who's making the most money. Is Dak
right? Well, and then his quote was about as great. He said, and this is how I do think I would be. What's another $5 million? Like, what is another? He said, what's another $5 million for me? He said, I have a house, I have a truck. Like, you know,
he's into tree farming, right? Didn't he buy some trees?
I read somewhere. I didn't read the story. I saw a bunch of headlines that he owns land.
Yeah, he owns because he's from like the
He's from a farming.
Yeah, he's from the part of California that is basically like just farmland.
So okay, tell me this: who is more likely to start a game this season?
Okay,
let me give you some quarterbacks. Ready?
All right,
Mac Jones for the 49ers.
Kyle got his guy.
Kyle finally got his guy.
He's always had eyes for him.
He's making up for not drafting him.
Yes.
Kenny Pickett for the Browns. Zach Wilson for the Dolphins. Daniel Jones for the Colts. And those are the ones that are kind of, I mean, because we know Justin Fields is going to start for the Jets, right? There's no mystery there. So, which of those guys are going to...
All right, so I'm going to power rank it. I think Daniel's the most likely. Actually, you could do this, though.
Can't you say Zach Wilson?
I was going to say, you can make the argument Zach Wilson because you know Tua's going to get hurt.
And Pickett, we don't know they're going to get another... Like, what are they...
I mean...
Could he emerge as their starter?
It depends on what you... Do you really believe that the Cousins stuff is... But even if even if they get Cousins, I still think that it's a decent chance Pickett plays.
I think Pickett starts a game, certainly, this year. I think Zach Wilson starts a game. I don't think Mac Jones does necessarily.
Also, Gardner just signed with the Chiefs.
Gardner Minshew signed with the Chiefs. God, I hope he starts a game.
Well, no, you don't, because you know what that's going to be? If he starts a game, it's going to be week 18.
No, that means they've already wrapped up the number one seed.
Because
Patrick Mahomes got destroyed coming off the edge.
This year, Joey Bosa coming off the edge.
He does his little slowdown move
to get the flag.
Boom! Yeah, exactly right.
That's unsportsmanlike.
That's what's going to happen. Titans, for the Titans fans in the audience, they did sign two offensive linemen. Not necessarily the best, but Dan Moore and Kevin Zeitler.
They signed linemen.
Are they going to draft a quarterback?
It feels kind of like it now. Here's the question, though. Do they draft one of the two quarterbacks?
Right. Or do they get Jackson Dart on the
or,
top
you know,
of the
Kyle
second
McCord
round?
Or someone else, like Tyler Shaw.
Go Tigers.
GTG.
Rebs, you got knock off Auburn. That'd be fun, too. We got a lot of basketball today. A whole lot of basketball today. Texas, Tennessee. That's after Ole Miss and Auburn. So a lot of basketball. Big weekend for the Grizzlies, and we will be back Monday. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. They will be joined today. If my phone would actually pull on. Anthony Sane will join them at 11:25. Jason Fitz at 1:25. Tim Murray with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Blake Topmeyer joins us at 2:35. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock. Don't forget Grizzlies, Cavs, pregame at 6:30, tip off at 7.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back on Monday. For now, work is done.